On the book of Ephesians, this is our third time, which is chapter 3. Each week we will look at chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3. That means that sometimes we skip some verses, we skip some more verses from chapter 1 and chapter 2. We try to go through each chapter before end of this month, and then we will try to learn something out of each chapter about Christ. Today, our text is from Ephesians chapter 3. Page number is 1242 from our Pew Bibles, our ESV Pew Bibles. If you'd like to open and look at it, that's fine. And then if you have a different version, you should have different version, it's fine. Oh, I should have my print out verse. Before reading the scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your revelation. You spoke to people who wrote the Bible so that we could understand about your salvation plan. We could understand why we need Jesus Christ, why we need your salvation. Lord, thank you so much for helping us to understand from your creation and the fall and redemption, even our final judgment. Lord, would you please bless us today and bless my lips as we are looking at the text and we are pondering about your word. Bless us so that we will understand, we'll be able to figure out your teachings, so we all together, we will look at only Christ, nothing but only Christ. We will be reminded of your love and grace again and again from our text. Lord, bless us. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Page number is 1242, Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 13, that's our verses today. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and the partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles and unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what was the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and an access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. This is the word of God. Amen. Now let's move quickly. Now here Paul talks about mainly two things in our text today, in Ephesians chapter 3. The first one is he shares verses 1 through 7, he shares the meaning of the mystery of Christ. That's a mystery, he says, that the mystery of Christ. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The second thing is verses 8 through 13. Paul encourages his readers, even you and me, of his to share the mystery of Christ with others. So Paul is sharing the mystery of Christ, and then he says, let's go and share the mystery of Christ. That's verses 8 through 13. That's an outline for my sermon. Now here, Paul begins our text with three interesting words in the ESV, for this reason. Eventually, Greek has two words in it. Now here, Paul's words, for this reason, indicates for, means that his teaching in chapter 3 here is pretty much related to the previous chapter, previous teaching, which is chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. I'm going to summarize it to you. Verses 19 to 22 is about basically union with Christ, Paul says about it. So Paul teaches that you, Gentiles, were not anymore strangers and aliens because of Jesus Christ. Now, you're united with Christ. That's 19 through 22. So based on that teaching, Paul says that for the sake of you Gentiles, not for me, but for the sake of you Gentiles, to make you to be united with Christ for reason, Paul says in our text, I became a slave of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is trying to say. He says, I am a prisoner for Christ Jesus. That's an amazing expression. Now here Paul calls to, his calling is to share the truth of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He's emphasizing his calling. So as he teaches in Ephesians chapter 1, we have to understand that God's call is not his decision, I mean Paul's decision and Paul's willingness or his plan. It's all about God's grace. God's divine call and divine choice happened to be with Paul. And when it happens to us, throughout weeks we have learned that no one could resist it. When God decided to show you his grace, we cannot say no, because our God is the Almighty God. No one can resist to his call and his grace. Now, sharing the gospel with a Gentile is not based on Paul's plan and will or whatever his life plan. Now, his plan was, actually we know that, not preaching Christ. His plan was persecuting Christ, persecuting Christians, persecuting church. Acts 9, this is what the Bible says, Acts 9 verse 1. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. That's his intention. He wanted to destroy everything. But however, meeting with Christ on the way to Damascus completely changed his life upside down. We know the story. And in Acts 9, verses 19-20, it says, and a few days later, actually Paul stayed and he didn't eat in water for 3 days. And then some days later, he was with the disciples in Damascus, at Damascus. And verse 20 says, this is shocking. It's not even months and years later, a few days later. And immediately, Paul proclaimed Jesus. What? Here? He is the Son of God. Can you imagine a person changed a few days later? He was a persecutor. He tried to destroy everything. Now he's preaching Christ. Definitely, it's not his will and plan. So that's why it's a mystery. It's a mystery for everyone in the first century Christians, for both Jews and Gentiles. Christ changed Paul's life. A persecutor became a preacher. Once he tried to kill everybody, every single Christian under the law, now he delivers the message of eternal life in Christ. What a big change. If you lived in the first century, you wouldn't believe that. Oh, he's lying. That's actually happened. Acts 9:26. People did not believe him. So this mystery has been given to Paul, and he says in verse 2, the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me, and there is a reason for you. Now, a few things that we must know about what Paul is trying to say here. The phrase, the stewardship of God's grace, can be translated as like the responsibility of management of God's grace. That means Paul has now responsibility from God. He was once the destroyer of the gospel. That's his responsibility. That's destroying everything. And now he has the responsibility of building up the church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the love of Jesus Christ, and to share God's grace. That's different changes. Now, Paul said it's given to him by God. The truth of Jesus Christ was not that he found something, but it was given to him. That's why we call it God's grace. God's grace is given to him. Paul knows the truth of Jesus Christ and God's salvation plan because God revealed those things to him. So somehow Paul defines the gospel here in our chapter 3 as the mystery. Verse 3, the mystery was made known to me by revelation. Because it was hidden to other generations, verse 5, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. They were not able to understand God's plan. Now, Peter says the very same thing in his writing, 1 Peter chapter 1 and 10. He describes what happened in the past concerning this salvation. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. They wanted to know. They knew that the Savior, the Messiah is coming. But they wanted to know when, what happening there. But they were looking for it. They started for it. It was hidden to them. But Paul is given. Now, God's salvation, the gospel, is mystery in Paul's knowledge because no one would fully understand God's salvation, his grace, his salvation plan for others. Now, it's beyond the scope of our understanding why we are here. We don't understand. It's God's call. Although we know that it's God's divine call that make us God's holy people. That's why we are here. But it's totally a mystery for you and me to see His salvation, how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives every day, in working in somebody else's lives every day. Somehow Paul wants to hear to praise God by saying the mystery of God, God's mighty work of salvation. And he says that's mystery. The mystery of Christ. What is it? Now here in Paul's mind, there are, based on our text, three mysteries we can talk about. It. In verse 6, if you go to look at verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and the partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now very easy to summarize it. The first one is, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, that's first one, that's mystery. The second one is, the Gentiles are members of the same body, that's mystery. Number three, the Gentiles are partakers of the promise in Christ. Well, straightforward, we say, yeah, that's easy. Let's talk about it a little bit more. The first, fellow heirs, what does it mean? Now, heir means, we know, the inheritance in Paul's theology. He mentioned a couple of times in chapter 1. The word inheritance, that's heir, is found in chapter 1, especially verse 17. In him we have obtained an inheritance. So in Christ we got that heir. In 14, who is a guarantee of our inheritance? Jesus Christ is a guarantee. When we purchase something, we ask them, guarantee you? Are you sure about this? But people say, there is no guarantee. But we have a guarantee in Christ. We will have his heir. We will share his heir. In verse 18, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So this is a very big and really important concept to Paul. The word inheritance carries the kind of last thing happening in an eschatological sense in Paul's theology. It carries us to the very last moment. We are waiting for the time when we will receive our inheritance, that's what we're looking at Christ. It is also one of significant themes from the Old Testament about inheritance. Now, then we know that the Israelites inherited God's promises. Abraham, Isaac, all the children, and God promises His blessings to Abraham's children. That's this inheritance Abraham had. Now, Paul brought that theme, the theme of Old Testament, God's promises and God's blessings to you Gentiles, not only Jews, but the Gentiles. And all the fulfillment of God's promises in the Old Testament are now ours, not only Jews. For all God's blessings are now ours, Christians. Romans 4:13 says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So Paul is talking about how we become God's children and how we will receive God's heir, share His heir with Christ. That's really important. If you have a father who is really rich, you will get something. If you don't have, your father is not rich, you will not get something. But think that way. Our Father who created everything, He has everything. He made you. He made the world, the universe. He has everything. We will inherit His glory and honor. That's really, really blessing. Now Paul says, we are the fellow heirs. We, Christians, have received God's abundant grace through faith in Christ. We have the right. We have the right to inherit His blessings, His promises, that we become the offspring of Abraham, spiritually speaking. That's all about our blessing that we have and that we will have, that Paul is sharing. That's mystery. That is a mystery. The second mystery is members of the same body. Now, the second concept is also related to the first one a little bit. The word Paul used here in the second mystery in Greek is only here in Greek here. It's interesting, not any other literatures, but in Bible and other literatures, only here. Members of the body. So scholars think that Paul made up, he invented this particular word, this beautiful word, I can say. This word is two words joining together. First one is together, and second one is body. Body cannot be, you know, together, different bodies, but our parts can be together. So literally it means belonging to be the same body, belonging. So that is one of most beautiful the words that we can read from the Bible in Paul's writing, belonging to Christ. Now here Paul explains the meaning of this word belonging and then together, one body. In actually chapter 2, verse 16, he already mentioned that what happened to us is that it might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. Now look at this sentence a little bit, you know, carefully. Reconciliation happened to us. So that both Jews and Gentiles and us, we Gentiles, we can go to God through cross, which means the death of Jesus Christ. That means Christ has reconciled both Jew and Gentiles through His sacrifice on the cross. That makes us really amazing. Yes, Christ died on the cross. That's why we became members of the body. So through His death, we are now basically united. We are belonging to Christ. Through His death, we become members of the same body. Now here Paul talks about not only one individual, but he says in chapter 1, verse 20, the church. That's the theme of Paul's teaching from the book of Ephesians, the church, The church is the body of Jesus Christ. We are belonging to God, Christ, the members of the same body. We are one family. We are one body. We are one in Christ. Now, Paul's first mystery, which is the fellow heirs, is about our right. God, this is our right to receive your blessing. And we have a right to inherit God's blessing. But here the second mystery teaches us that unity, the unity of Christians, the unity of the church. When we look at the book of Philippians, we talk about it. We are all different. We have different backgrounds. We think differently. We react differently. Sometimes my family don't like my reaction. Whoa! And what happened? Look at that! We react differently. But Paul says that we are not many, but one in Christ. When we hit a part of our body, we feel pain. Is somebody struggling in our body? Did we really feel the pain? The same is true for the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, as Paul says, we live together. We live together in Christ. We suffer together in Christ. We rejoice together in Christ. We grow together in Christ. We will not going to say, no, we will not say to our children that I don't like you, I disagree with you. Done. No. We still love them. We still have a connection. We still pray for them. We care for them. Because we are family. Same thing applies to our church. We are the members of the same body. You and I, we are belonging to Christ. No one can take it, that privilege from us. That's the second mystery. That is mystery. I'm part of God's kingdom. The third mystery Paul is talking about is partakers of the promises. Now, the word partaker is also a rare word in the New Testament. Now, sometimes Paul used this word to express like a negative feelings and meanings. Like Ephesians chapter 5 and 7. Partakers of the world. Don't be partakers of the world. But here in chapter 3 and verse 6, it's kind of positive meaning. The meaning is together and sharing. The third mystery is also related to the first one, heir, receiving heir. But it's a little bit different here. The first one is talks about, as we know, inheritance, right to have it, God's blessing. But third mystery emphasizes on sharing. Now the Gentiles are now sharing all the promises of God in the Old Testament. Now God's promises from the Old Testament, like to Abraham, is now for the Gentiles. That's Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4. The teachings about we are sharing God's promises. God's promises is to His people that we read in like a book of Isaiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Nehemiah. Everything we read from the Old Testament, like Joel. Those all promises are now ours. We're sharing. Now, the beauty of all the mysteries that we've been talking about today is that everything, each mystery happens to us in Christ. In Christ, verse 6, in Christ, Jesus through the gospel. That means without Christ, no reason to be here today. Somehow Paul is repeating his theme, his teaching of God's grace, divine election in chapter 1. I mean, every single mystery that No one could ever understand with their own knowledge and experience happens to us, happens to the Gentiles, when? In Christ. Where? In Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's why it is a mystery. It's a mystery how you and me, we end up here at New Hope Church, New Hope Christian Reformed Church. How would anyone know if we are here today? It's totally God's mystery that we are here today. We are fellow heirs. We are members of the same body and partakers of the promises. Now everything happens to us in Christ through the gospel. Now here Paul says in verse 7, which was given me by the working of his power. Paul always mentions that what he is doing is not his work, his job, his knowledge, but it's all about God's power, the work of the Holy Spirit. We became the member of New Hope Christian Reformed Church in Christ with his power. Now, after finishing his teaching about mysteries, Paul moves to the next theme, which is verses 8 through 13. He moves to the different teachings. Since Paul have learned that the mystery of Christ is Christ have three things, now his job is to boldly share these mysteries, the mystery of Christ. Verse 8 and 9, we will see in two infinitive forms or verb forms that tells us about what Paul did. Verse 8, Paul says, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile has been Paul's theme and his discussion and in the book of Ephesians all the way through chapter 1, 2, 3. Here, Paul added two words, unsearchable riches and unsearchable riches, which means incomprehensible riches. Incomprehensible riches of Christ. That is another way you can say, yeah, that's a mystery. How I have his love, that's mystery. God's love and grace are beyond our understanding. We cannot measure his grace. In verse 9 again, he says, to bring to the light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. If you read this verse again and again, this verse has it all. Now here he mentioned that the God of Creator, Paul mentioned it. Then he also talks about the mystery again here, which is Christ and God's salvation. Now he brings this mystery to everyone. There's one word, everyone. Paul uses another infinitive form to explain it, to shine and to cause to be illuminated or to make known. That is the next one, to bring up to light. That means he's trying to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody else, not only Gentiles, but he mentioning about the first Christians, but to everyone to know Jesus Christ, to make known. That means there is no limit. Nothing can limit the power of the gospel. We remind what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So if you read Ephesians chapter 3, you sense that Paul has something. He has some bomb inside of his heart. It's about explode. It's about God's love. He wants to share these things. Let's bring God's grace to everyone, everyone, everyone. You have that mystery of Christ now. You have to share. And verse 10 has his conclusion, a purpose clause. Verse 10, so that, why? We have a mystery and everything. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So that through the church, through you and me. We have known all the mysteries of Christ. Still, we are trying to figure things out, but we have known many of them. God has revealed everything, His mystery of saving grace to us. Paul tells us the reason why. The manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold is actually in Greek is a colorful, different side. All the wisdom of God might be known to them, made known to other people, to whom? To the rulers of and authorities in this world, in the heavenly places. Now with this verse, many scholars have different understandings. Some people will see that we're going to talk about the last things, what will happen to us. Some scholars are saying that these things, that things connected. But what I see here is, we can spend hours to discuss about this particular verse. God is talking, Paul is talking about the Satan and devil and authorities and rulers. But here, Paul's intention is, be made known. The verb, be made known. That's we are here. Be made known. Now, recently we have heard lots of bad news, bad things happening around us. We know that many people died in Paris and Russia and in many other places. Now, it's horrible to hear that people kill each other, innocent people, for their faith because of their religion. That's nonsense. We also remember what happened to us in the United States in September 11, 2001. Unbelievable. But you know what? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 24:9-14. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated. Christians, we will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. It's happening. And the many will fall away and betray one another and then hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. You see, it's happening. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is what Jesus said. Exactly. Brothers and sisters, eventually we will hear more horrible news. And every day, what's happening to us and other nations, even in the United States. But don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged. It's really sad, but don't be discouraged. Don't be skeptical. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your faith in the sovereign God who controls everything. We believe in Him. Rather listen to what Paul says here in our text, verse 10. Be made known. What our job, church job is, be made known. Verse 12 says, we have boldness, brothers and sisters, and access with confidence through our faith in Christ. Now we have Christ, we have a boldness and confidence, so that Paul is commanding, asking his people, let the world recognize our God, the God of creation. Let the world know that our Lord is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Church, that's our job. Let the world know that Jesus Christ conquered the death and brought us victory over sin and death. Let the world know that. Let the world know that Jesus is our master. And then we are belonging to Him, no one else. We are His people. Let the world know that no matter what, our sovereign God controls everything. He is the Almighty God. Let the world know that Christ is the Lord of all. Let the world know the mystery of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's interesting to read verse 10 again. So that, why we have mysteries of Christ? So that through the church, it's not about only you, but church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers, authorities in the heavenly places. How many people will know our God and our Christ through us? In our text today, Paul begins his teaching in verse 1. He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now here he ends his teaching in verse 13. I am suffering for you. Somehow, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring to us suffering and difficulties. As we just read from Matthew, the world will persecute us, the church. It's obvious. We will suffer as Christ suffered. Literally, we see these things are happening here in the soil of the United States. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you look at the fact. Don't be discouraged because we have Christ. Paul's message today is the message to the churches in the United States, even to us. We are the ones who have already tasted the mystery of Christ, His grace, God's abundant grace in us. Now, His grace is so powerful and really hot. We cannot contain here. We cannot keep it here. We can live it here. We have let our Christ go. His gospel is going. Let the world know the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let the world know manifold wisdom of God. Let the world know the mystery of Christ. That's our job. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul's teaching that he has learned from you. Thank you for revealing these things to him so that he was able to write. He was able to teach the first century Christians, even to us. Lord, it's a mystery that we are here today. It's a mystery that we have received your grace. But since we have your grace and mercy, it's our turn to share this mystery. Let the world know. Let the world know that you are the Savior, the Messiah. Help us to live up to this teaching. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.